Today's shiur is sponsored by Mr. Harvey Lichtman. Honor tomorrow is the yahrzeit of his father, Moshe Baruch ben Chaim Elazar. Shamash Avin Aliyah. Today's topic, I believe, is called Flowers, an Array of Halachos for Shavuos, Shabbos, and Yom Tov. And I was reading an article by Rabbi Beryl Wein, and the historian was reflecting back that in Jewish communities, going back to Europe, flowers were not so common. I assume it sounds like both because of economic reasons and just practically, you know, the shtetls didn't exactly have the best agriculture and flower-grown beds, sunlight, dark, dreary place, Europe. And flowers not so easily found in Jewish homes. But Baruch Hashem, in our current galus here in America, Eretz Yisrael, many places flowers are quite common. In New York, I remember on a Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, on the street corners, you'd have to go to a flower shop, the street corners of Borough Park, Flatbush, Queens. You'll have people selling you flowers. Quite common. And thus today, I'd like to try to discuss the halachas of flowers. We'll see about the Yom Tov of Shavuos, but also about Shabbos and Yom Tov that comes up too. Yom Tov of Shavuos is famous for flowers. If you look on your sheets, this is Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Simon Tov Tzad Yidalid, talks about the halachos of Shavuos. So on the second line, the Ramah writes, V'noagim l'shtoach asavim b'shavuos b'beis ha-kneses v'batim. We have grasses, and with that, tree, parts of trees, flowers, zeichel l'simchas matan Torah, as a zeichel for the simcha of matan Torah. And this is a minhag which probably many people are familiar with. They saw growing up, currently in shuls, you see many flowers. If anyone ever was in Washington Heights, in Kaladas Yeshuvim Broyers, they are famous for an absolute setup. Flowers, trees, they have a whole canopy. You can actually find the video of all of it online. Absolutely amazing. And people are very into flowers, shuls. They take it very seriously. But we'll see in a moment, it's not so simple. There were reasons pro, there were reasons against. And the first part of today's share, I'd like to analyze it. Now, how far back does this minhag go to have flowers? Firstly, is it something that, you know, we talked about the other week? Did it evolve recently? Or is it something which has roots, excuse the pun, going back for generations? So I found a fascinating thing. Just came up on the spot. The Birkei Yosef brings in Halacha a Medrash, which I tracked down. It's a Targum Sheni, I believe, on Megillas Esther. That Haman was having a discussion with Achashverosh, talking about the Jewish problem, the Jews, describing the Jews. Within Haman's description to Achashverosh about the Jews, Haman said, yeah, they're the people that decorate their synagogues with flowers for one of their holidays. So that means all the way back into the times of Mordechai the Esther, there already was established a minhag to decorate shuls, places of worship, on Shavuos with flowers. This was something which Haman was expressing, it was so public, so well known, Haman was expressing this to Achashverosh. So the minhag goes far, far back. What's the reason for this minhag? So there's multiple reasons. What we saw the Ramah quotes calls it Zecher l'simchas matan Torah. The Zecher for the simcha of matan Torah. I saw people point out the pasuk in the Chumash highlights the fact by Har Sinai there were flowers. It seems that it means not just of expressing the simcha. Flowers are something which bring about happiness and joy, brightness within people, and that's associated. I saw someone even use the word the halacha of lachem. When it comes to the Yom Tov Shavuos. When it comes to Yom Tov Shavuos, there is a means of us recognizing and celebrating that Yom Tov in a very physical way. Definitely have to eat Sudas Yom Tov, and that's a human expression of the joy that we have of Kabbalah Satara. So flowers itself are that, but it's also remembrance of Har Sinai, that beautifully what we picture in our minds, or touch with somehow, our neshamas were there too, of Har Sinai, that mountain with flowers on it. So Zeker is Simchas Matan Torah, we have flowers.
That's why we say Ein Kemah.
Interesting. But there's another reason for flowers. Maseches Rosh Hashanah talks about that on Atzeres, on the Yom Tov Shavuos, we're danu al peiros ha'ilon. We judged on how successful our fruits are going to be. And therefore, as a focus on that, a remembrance of that, the Magen Avraham brings, that's another reason to have flowers in Shavuos. Not just because of Matan Torah and Kabbalah Satara and Har Sinai, but also because it's a day which we're being judged on fruits, on Peiros Ha'ilon. So to remember that, to focus on that, we have trees in front of us to make us realize, hey, you know, especially in the older societies where people's parnasa was very much based in agriculture, and if their fruits, their trees produce, is a big deal. So to focus on that, inside the shuls, they would have flowers, trees, grass. Now, this was a minhag that seemingly went on for generations until the Gra came along. The Gra But the Chai Adam brings down the words of the Gra, where the Gra himself said we should be mevatel this minhag. Why should we mevatel this minhag of flowers and shoals? So the language is because it's chukas ha'akam, because the goyim are doing it. This is very interesting. I looked into it. I saw, I'm sure you could find a few theses out there. People going through the historical timeline. The simple understanding is, we know that the holiday, the goyish holiday of Xmas, trees are a major, major focus. And the simple understanding of the Gra is once the Goyim picked up trees as a focus on their holiday, so the Gra felt it would be right for us to be mevatel that minhag of us being very involved with trees, flowers, and grass. Chukas ha'akam, we shouldn't go like the Goyim. Very interesting point. This very good point and very good retort. The question brought up was, if we're worried about flowers, then what about lulav? Now, the first point, I'll give the retort that was given. There's a chiluk that people make between a minhag and something which is a clear-cut halacha. So being the fact that a lulav is a clear-cut halacha, it may not be, it might be for us midrash of the first day, but not beyond that, but still, a clear-cut halacha, that we would be makbid on in face of whatever they're going to do. Right? Even if they have Palm Sunday, they start taking palms too, like that. Still, we would continue that. But what we're talking about here is a minhag, which, as we did state, is a minhag that goes so far back. But nevertheless, the Grav felt, because of Chukas HaAkum, this is something we should mivatel. And the Chai Adam brings us down.
So we didn't eliminate giving gifts on Hanukkah.
Mr. Lichtman, don't you know that everybody likes gifts? You can't be mivatel gifts. You know, there's some people that tried to eliminate afikoman gifts because they felt it wasn't nice people stealing from their parents or grandparents. But yeah, gifts, you know, as long as the grandparents give it, the kids will take it. But the Gra did put into effect this ban on trees. The language of the Gra brought down the Chai Adam talks about trees. There's no clear mention in Chai Adam of flowers, grass. It's interesting, I found two spots. The Aruch HaShulchan, when he says Aruch HaShulchan brings down this Gra, and the idea of not having this problem that the Gra brought about, and he adds the line, also flowers. It's a big deal. Most shuls today don't have trees. They have them in the beautiful flower, in the flower arrangement. In the original language of Chai Adam doesn't say anything about flowers, but the Aruch HaShulchan does, as well as they found with the Gra. The Gra is a sefer Maisa Rav, which has different minhagim of the Gra. So there's Lukute Hagra there, which are kisfeyad of the Gra, which they added to the Sefer. And there, the Gra itself also uses the language about flowers.
It's interesting. Trees were part of Avodah Zarah.
Oh.
The Asherim. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They really don't belong in the
tree. Interesting. You're bringing up another reason.
Is this why we don't have flowers at cemeteries?
Very good point. Correct. It, for the most part, this is also, I don't want to, this is a different topic. But for the most part, the normative Jewish custom for generations wasn't to have wreaths or flowers by cemeteries. However, even that has creeped in, and you'll find that sometimes in cemeteries, sometimes in things. But yeah, I assume the origin there was also more of a Gentile thing, but sometimes it creeped in. I'm not sure that the Gros move out of that, but not necessarily the things that we do. Now, practically speaking, I found amongst modern day poskim basically two camps. I found many are makel and allow shuls and the like to have flowers. Chief amongst them, you can find Rebbe Yashuv, Rebbe Shlomo Zalman from Eretz Yisrael will makel. Rebbe Vadi Yosef was makel. I'm sure Sephardic shuls have seen beautiful arrangements. We mentioned ourselves here the point. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein was machmer. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says not to do it. I even held the meeting on Friday. I have a friend of mine who's a grandson of Rav Breuer and very well connected in the Yekki German community of Washington Heights. So I interviewed him about this whole topic. So he told me, you know, they do take it very, very seriously over there. He says every year they're makbid, they don't have, not just putting away the decorations, fake flowers and grass and trees. Every year they get fresh stuff. This gets put up for hours and hours. He says, but they're makbid. He says not to have evergreen trees. They have trees, but they go out of their way not to have evergreen trees. He thinks in deference to the Gra, that it shouldn't be any resemblance whatsoever of what the Goyim do on Xmas.
Evergreen would probably be contrary to what we're trying to do, because the whole idea is you want something that's annual because it relates to this year.
Interesting. Yeah, that could be. But they go out of their way, he tells me, in the Yekka Shekehila, to do it but at the same time, not to do it, to step on the grub in doing so. Now, the flowers themselves, as we said, that wasn't as clear. Definitely have flowers. I saw, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky brings in his sefer, that the minhag in most yeshivas is not to have flowers. And he says that also stems from this grub, that the yeshivas were more makbid to accept the words of the grub, to be careful for the grub. And that's why if you walk into most yeshivas on Shavuos, you won't see an array of flowers. But again, both have their backing the shuls to have, yeshivas not to have, based on halacha. One additional point I found, which is very interesting. The piece from Rav Moshe is on the top of your pages. It's in one of the later volumes from Rav Moshe. So he writes, "Bidavar shtitas hasavim v'amados ilanos b'chag ha'shvuos, shahagra, which is brought in the Chayei Adam, oser, me'acha sha'osa ma'akam b'chag sholahem, samach l'shvuos." Interesting. When the Moshe brings it down, he pinpoints which holiday. He talks about a holiday which is for the Goyim have close to Shavuos. Rav Moshe is not talking about Exodus. Right, there is a holiday which I don't think is so well observed, but called Pentecost by some Gentiles. And that's the holiday that the Gra was talking about. And especially the proximity of time, the fact that it was so close to Shavuos, all the more so makes it, looks like that we're copying them.
Isn't that the secular name for the Torah?
Right.
But in some of the old original translations, you see maybe a bird or something?
Could be. But he writes, he brings the Marsham, which is in the Achron, that the Marsham said, you don't have to worry about Chukas Ha'akam. This idea that the Gra says we're following the paths of God, you don't have to worry about. He gives two reasons. Kivan sha'anu osim azeker shenidonim ba'al peretz ilon. Hey, we have a valid reason why we're doing it. We're not doing it for the same reason they are. We're doing it to remember the trees or remember Har Sinai. Va'od sha'agayim aninim ha'olanos b'chad sholem kam b'chutz. Hey, the guy, when they do it, they put the trees even on the outside. And we're keeping the trees inside our synagogues. Rav Moshe writes to that in a klum. Those svaras don't mean anything. And he spells it out, I saw in a different piece, that very interesting idea. This iser, which we have, and we have in other areas of Chukas Ha'akam, of being careful not to mimic, copy the Goyim, do things that the Goyim are doing. There's a difference if we're doing it for the same reason they're doing it, or perhaps a different reason. So those who are being makol say, look, granted the Goyim do it, but they're doing it for their holiday, we're doing it because we have our reason, they do it in their manner, we do it in a different manner, so it's not exactly the same. So being the fact it's not exactly the same, that's a reason to permit it. But Moshe Feinstein's opinion was the other way. Was that even if there's a difference between them, but as long as there's some means of resemblance, that's also included in the Isra of Chukas Ha'akam. Mm-hmm. So the very interesting machlokas you have here, really, the underpinnings of these different minhagim. How far does the Isra of Chukas Ha'akam go? Is it only if there's a clear connection, similarity between what we're doing and the Goyim are doing? Or even broader than that? Even if there isn't really a connection, but the optics look like the Goyim, that's also included in the Isser. So again, practically speaking, there are two minhagim over here. There are minhagim to put flowers up and beautify the Beis Medrash, Beis HaKnesses. There are those who don't. They both have backing. The backing to do it dates back generations upon generations, centuries, all the way back to the times of Mordechai the Esther. And those who don't, they have the gra as back and forth they do. So that's for Shavuos. Recovered for Shavuos. Once I decided we're on the topic of flowers, and being the fact that we do have flowers around in our communities, I figured it might be a good time to go through the halachas of flowers in general on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, we'll see in a moment. A lot of times people think the halachas of Shabbos and Yom Tov are the same. In these halachas in particular, I found differences. And I think it's good to point out, especially I flipped through some of these modern English svarim, and they didn't necessarily have these differentiations when it comes to flowers between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, one other word of caution. What I would like to talk about today is specifically flowers. Flowers, what I mean, are cut off flowers, which you're going to keep in a vase with water. That's what I'm talking about. A plant is a different halacha. A plant which is growing in a pot is quite complicated. And those halachas are different. So what we're going to talk about today is specifically flowers. Now, first halacha about flowers I'd like to touch on is moving flowers. Right? Many people keep flowers on their table, and you know, when they change a tablecloth, what happens to the flowers? Mm-hmm. Are flowers muksa? Is one allowed to move flowers on Shabbos or Yom Tov? So it's interesting. If you would have, let's say, a branch, your backyard, big branch falls down, is that something you can move on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Answer is no. A branch is muksa. And one is not allowed to move that on Yom Tov or Shabbos. However, flowers are different. And the Mishnah Berurah himself alludes to this on the back of your page.
The branch is detached.
A detached branch. One would not be allowed to move on Shabbos or Yom Tov because of muksa. However, flowers are different. The Mishnah Berurah uses the language in Nun Gimel. Shekotzim mimosa chama, we're talking about flowers which are cut in the summertime. L'smolach behem bebayis. To, literally, to enjoy in the house. That means for decorative purposes. So flowers of which are of decorative purposes, those things are 100% mutter to move. The Mishnah Berurah writes at the end of L'stam anfei ilon avi muksa. A regular branch, like we just said, that would be muksa. But a flower, a bouquet of flowers, since the purpose of those flowers has a purpose on Shabbos and Yom Tov to beautify the house, so it has a tzarech, so something like that, you're allowed to move.
Right.
We'll get to those halachas in a moment. We're talking about, good to point out, David. We're talking about flowers which are already all there, all set before Shabbos, before Yom Tov, and you just change the tablecloth or, you know, blocking the view of the other side of the table. So 100% those flowers you're allowed to move. There's no problem with muksa. But one could differentiate them. It happens many times. You have a whole bouquet of flowers and some petals fall off. That's different. Those petals are no longer simply... Once your flowers have fell off, those petals are no longer being used to beautify. Who for care? Just the opposite. It looks bad now. Those would be muksa. And those one wouldn't be able to move off of. Now, on a table, again, to all specifics, it would be on the table, the table would be a buses. So potentially there might be means of getting them off the table. But when we talk about flowers being mutter, it's a bouquet of flowers. Individual leaves would be muksa and asa to move because those leaves, once they fall off the flowers, are no longer being used for beautification.
Aren't you more moving the vase than the flower?
Okay, very good. Right, the vase itself for sure would be mutter. Right? We use vases and stuff. The flowers in it, you're right, it would be a buses for it, so it would be a question of the flowers in the vase. You're correct. I would point out, though, sometimes you find, you know, nowadays interior decorators have different, you could find, you know, nice little rose petals people will set up as a means of beautifying a situation. So perhaps, right, they're sprinkling those rose petals. So if that's the design and you're using that for decorative purposes, then those rose petals would be mutter to move, because in that case, it is used for beautification, just like the flowers themselves. So that would be mutter. Yes?
What if let's say you have six stems in a vase, and one of them is sort of sticking out, it's not in the water, and by moving the vase, it will fall into the water.
Very, very interesting. What you're asking is not a muksa shayla. That we'll see in a moment. We'll get into, right? You're basically putting one of the rose stems, let's say, into water. That we're going to see in a moment.
I think you have to bring three goats to your slime for that one.
So hold on. We'll see who's the goat after the share. So step one, we're talking about moving flowers. The basic halakha that emerges is you can move flowers themselves, but leaves that fall off that have no usage, those would be muksa. But if you set up to begin with those petals as decorative, that's fine. Here's where it gets, I'll use the pun, more thorny. Putting flowers into water is much, much more complicated. Because that, although when you put them into water, they're not going to grow, they're detached, but the water could have an impact, at least in the fact that this looks like zoreya, looks like planting. And as we know, as with many of the malachas on Shabbos, it's not just the malacha midaraisa, which is usher. The Rabbanon put on many, many restrictions for things that look like the original din. So thus, putting flowers into water is not poshut. Now, let me give first the most accepted case of where one would be allowed to put flowers into water on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then we'll go from there to more nuanced cases. Now, point number one. There's a difference between flowers if they opened or didn't open. Many times you buy roses and they're closed. By putting them into water, that speeds up the process of them opening. That one cannot do on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You can't put unopened flowers into water that through that water will make them open. That you can't do. You can do it before Shabbos. What I'm talking about right now is on Shabbos or Yom Tov.
Well, we just said we can't put any flowers in water. That's my assumption.
So, right. But I'm going to give you in a moment the heter of how you could. So the first step, just to clarify, the first issue you're coming onto when you're putting flowers into water is the opening of those flowers. Now that itself, you could have levels. They already were opened, but now by you putting water, it'll open up more. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about them, for the most part, being fully closed. Now you put them into water, it's going to open. That you can't do. But if they were already opened, step condition one, then there might be a way to do it. And step two is if you have water already set up before Shabbos. That itself is an issue. Part of the issue is you're going to putting flowers into the vase and putting the water into the vase. So then you're setting up a situation which looks like Zoreya and the like. But if you already before Shabbos set up a vase with water and you have flowers which already were open, so then, one would be allowed to put those flowers into the vase, even on Shabbos. You had the water already, the flowers were already opened, if that meets those two conditions, then that'll be okay. just one more step, I would qualify.
But what's the purpose of putting them into the water? Why not just put them in a vase that doesn't have any water in it at all?
That's a different case. That would be fun.
No, but I'm saying, what's the purpose
of
putting water, other than the fact that you're going to keep them
fresh?
Right.
But here's the thing. One more condition. Flowers themselves, as you mentioned before, are not muksa. So if you want to put them into an empty vase, of course, that's no problem. What we're talking about is you want to put flowers into a vase with water. You're right, which will obviously keep them fresher. But if you meet these really three conditions, which I'm about to clarify one more, is if the flowers were already opened, you already prepared the water, and one more step, these flowers were already sitting in water before that. So what you're doing is just returning them to the water they were once in. Then that will be allowed. So someone brought up a case before.
Returning them to the water they were once in before Shabbos or during Shabbos?
Yeah, water they were before Shabbos. So that would mean the case, now I'm about to answer the question you brought up before. You have flowers, and you ask your kid to move the flowers off the table. You have a beautiful bouquet of 12 roses. And you're a kid, you know, takes the flower pot and moves it, and, you know, juggling it, and one of the flowers falls out. Could you return that flower into the bouquet? Your wife wants to see 12 roses, not 11. So, being the fact the water was already there before, if the flower was already open and it was already sitting in that water, 100% you can put it back in. Now, this is all talking about returning flowers into water once they already were open. What about the idea of putting flowers into water for the first time? These flowers weren't yet. No, you could have a case like this. Think about it. You know, I don't think this is the normal thing for people to give as a gift for a Shabbos meal. But let's say you invite somebody who's not yet religious, or people come to you, here, we're eating by you this meal. Here, have a bouquet of flowers. Right? I'm sure these cases could happen. What do you do then? You don't want to hurt the feelings of the guests. At the same time, you have Shabbos halachas. How do you do it? So putting flowers for the first time into water is what we're about to talk about. Your guest shows up with your flowers. Hold on. Your guest shows up with your flowers, and what should I do? Let's say they're already open. If those buds are already open, there's something to talk about. If they're closed, that's when you have to start beginning your smart way of respectfully telling these people such beautiful flowers. You can use the idea of putting them in a vase without water. But to vase with water, if they're closed, you can't. That was one of the qualifications said before. Now,
the flowers that you buy, you take them from Publix that have already been in water.
That's right.
Keeping them sort of fresh. Unless they trimmed them from their own garden and brought them directly, they would not have been in water. It's pretty rare.
Interesting.
So
that's a good point.
Being in water fit into this?
That's a good point. That sounds... I'm not sure. Do I always see the always in water? Yeah, for the most part, they're in these buckets.
Do they have to start Shabbos in the water?
Do they have to start Shabbos in the water?
Meaning any point in time they were in water?
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I want to clarify. I'm not sure of that. But to be honest, I've seen in the street corners of New York, flowers come straight out of a van, and people just buy them straight out of there. They were just caught, and they didn't even get to put them in water. New York's a tough town. No, you got to hop your flowers before anybody else. I've seen them being sold even straight.
Over here, all the flowers are buying already in water.
Yeah, it's very different.
Because they're transported, they're not just.
Is it only the same water, not the different water?
So that's something I'm not sure of. Right? Does it need to be the same water, or not? We'll see in a moment. We'll talk about changing water. Hold on a few of the questions. We're going to clarify some things here. Why don't we start? I'd like to read this Mishnah over here in Sukkot. On the first side of your sheets, there's a Mishnah here in Sukkot. A very, very interesting Mishnah. This talks about what Jason brought up before. We love him. Makabelas isha miyad bina umiyad baila. A woman could accept from her child, from her husband, a lulav. Umachzir l'mayin b'shabbos. And return it into the water on Shabbos. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shabbos machzirin. On Shabbos, you can return it. You can return it to the same water. To water. B'yom tov mosifin. On Yom Tov, you can even add water to it. Uvimoi machlifin. And on Chol Moed, you could switch the water. So Rabbi Yehuda is always already bringing up distinctions between Shabbos, Yom Tov, and really Chol Moed. One interesting step here. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. People are troubled. Usually we follow the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan, versus individual opinion like Rabbi Yehuda. So I saw the Achronim point out, in this Mishnah, even though there are two opinions, and even though Rabbi Yehuda states his opinion with the words Rabbi Yehuda Omer, very important point. A lot of times in Mishnah and Gemara, where the Omer is makes a big difference. Rabbi Yehuda Omer usually means he's attacking. He's arguing with the opinion before. If he was saying his own thing, clarifying something, normally the language in Mishnah and the Gemara use is Amar Rabbi Yehuda. But in this particular Mishnah, Kapos Tamar, I'm not going to point out, is Rabbi Yehuda's really qualifying what the Tanakhama said. So there is no machlokas here between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's just qualifying him. And that's why halacha l'maisa, you find the words of Rabbi Yehuda being accepted. Now, if you turn to the back of your sheets, the language here is going to be very, very interesting. And I'll show you how the language here in the Shulchan Aruch makes for a big nafkamina in the later Achronim, how they understand the halacha in this case. Let's first skip to Tuf Resh Nun Dalet. Hey over there. That's Hilchos Sukkah. So there, it has this halacha, Mekabelos Isha Halulah Miyad Bina, Miyad Baila, Umachsi Rasa Lemayim. She can return it to water. Then she talks about on Yontif, Vitosif Lav Mayim in Tzarech. You could add water on Yontif if it's needed. You can't switch the water. So this Mechaber in Tuf Resh Nun Dalet is bringing, like we saw in the Mishnah, what Rabbi Yehuda clarified for us, that on Yom Tov you could put flowers back into water, and if it needs, add to it water. You could add water to the vase, but you can't switch, totally change the water. That's the halacha over here. If you look in Hilchos Shabbos, the earlier piece here on the sheets, Simen Shin Lamed Vav, look what the Ramah writes. Hagah, Umoter Lahamid Anfei Ilanos B'mayim. You could put literally branches of trees, flowers, in water on Shabbos. Uvavachiyam Prochim V'shoshanam Shem Niftachim L'chulchos Amayim. Assuming that there are no flowers which are opening up from the moisture of the water, the ayin lekamon simen tuf resh nun dalet. See what I write later in tuf resh nun dalet. So I'm not sure if anyone picked up over here, but the achronim are bothered by a skira within the language of this Ramah. I'll show you what the skira is. The Ramah writes a sentence. It's mutter lahamid anfeilons b'mayim b'shabbos. It's permitted to put flowers into water on Shabbos. Does he make any mention of whether you're returning it to the water the way it was in. No mention. He says you could put flowers into water on Shabbos. Then at the end, the Ramah gives you a Mar Makom. He gives you a reference point. Look in Siman Tav Reish Nun Daled. If you look at the language in Tav Reish Nun Daled, what the Machaber writes, Mekabelos Isha Alum Yad Beno Yad Baila, Umach Ziroso Lamayim, and you can return it to water. The Achronim are bothered by a stira, a contradiction in the words of the Ramah. On the one hand, the Ramah writes carte blanche, you can put flowers into water on Shabbos as long as there's no issue. Doesn't say anything about machzir also, only returning it. But he references you, the same Ramah references you to Halacha and Tav Reish Nun Daled, and there the Mechaber specifically writes only to return it. So this stira, this contradiction, is something which is picked up by the Achronim, and this is really the underpinnings of why there are two shitas over here.
I'm not getting flowers anymore.
Hold on. I didn't make it too complicated yet. We're going to clarify everything. It'll be beautiful. Just like the flowers. So there's a prima godim who interprets the Ramah the following. Prima godim is Mekel. He said, really, you should take the first words of the Ramah literally. You can put flowers into water. Doesn't make any problem if you're, for the first time, second time, returning it. No. You're 100% allowed to put flowers into water. The Ramah references you to Tav Reish Nun Daled. And over there, the Mechaber used the language about returning it to water. He says that's not what he meant. All that he meant was to make sure that you know the water was already prepared. We talked about the three qualifications. One of them was the water was prepared. So even if this is the first time these flowers are going into water, all that he meant from over there, as long as the water was prepared, that's good enough. That's what the Prima Godim holds. In contrast, the Chaya Adam is Machmer, and he says, you know why the Ramah quotes to you Siman Tav Reish Nun Daled? Kufa to show you the Prima Godim is wrong. You need to only do this if you're returning the flowers to water, not putting them into water for the first time. So therefore, according to him, you'll be Machmer. Now, I found...
What does it mean pre-existing water? So does that mean that I have water bottles that I had set aside? Or does it mean that I actually pour water in the vase, put it inside there?
My impression is you pour it into the vase already. Because it'll set up. It could be a mixed issue of different things. You always have water in your house.
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to having to go out and get the water,
right.
I have water existing.
Because
water
part of the issue is, because it looks like Zoraya. So if you're going to pour it into the bottle and there, it has to already have been there. One more step in the process. Yes?
Before you go on, I don't know if you said this before, but if you have Hadassim, and you, a lot of people put them in the refrigerator with a little bit of water. So this seems to say that you could have your Hadassim, even on Yom Tov, in water. Go out, use them, and then put them back in the water.
Providing you have these qualifications, correct?
What's that?
Providing you have all these qualifications, meaning the flowers are already open, which for the most part,
Hadassim are.
Right. Number two, that the water was already prepared before Yontif.
Yeah.
And three, that they already were in water ahead of time.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure. Hadassim, you buy in a package, vacuum packed.
Yeah.
If you didn't put them into water before Yom Tov, I'm not sure they were in the water before Yom Tov. You have to put them into water before.
You put them in before Yom Tov, you take them out of the package, put them before Yom Tov, and then you can put it back in.
That's,
what
That would seem to be okay, correct.
I've met people that do that.
Right. But you, most people don't. Most people open the packages, put them straight into the lulav. It wasn't sitting on the table as a floral arrangement beforehand.
For those that have the wet paper towels and put it in the refrigerator, it's the same
type of thing. Again, providing you did the wedding in advance. That's a very important step. Excellent point. About to get there. Hold on. Shh. Now, halakha l'maisa, you have a machlokes, a poskin here. Major poskin. The prima gadim versus the chai adam. The prima gadim is mekel. The chai adam is machmer. What does one do? So the Mishnah Berurah over here brings both shitas. The Mishnah Berurah and Sifkata Nundal and Hilchos Shabbos brings both opinions. And really, the Mishnah Berurah is always a tricky read many times. Okay, he's bringing both opinions. Is he siding with one side over the other? It's not clear. He first brings the opinion that to be machmir, he secondly brings the opinion of the Prima Gadim to be mekel. He does write in that Os Memeches of the Shaar Tzion that one b'di'eved, if one stuck, perhaps a situation where your neighbor shows up with fresh flowers, there the halacha would be you could rely on the Prima Gadim. Chafetz Chaim writes that out in the Shaar Tzion, where you're stuck, you could rely on that opinion of the Shaar Tzion and even put it for the first time into water, which might have ramifications for your Hadas Maravos also. Now, so that's all in terms of putting flowers into water on Shabbos, and we'll see soon, in Yom Tov. So it comes out, there's a major machlokas about it, really dating back or stemming from the stira in the language of the Ramah. The Prima Gadim is Mekel, the Chai Adam is Machmer. Chafetz Chaim brings both shitas, but b'di'evit, if a person is stuck, one could rely on the Prima Gadim. What I would like now to come to is one additional halacha, which we already saw in the Mishnah, but I want to talk about a halacha l'maisa. And that's specifically, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? This Mishnah over here is making a difference. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? So practically, what the Mishnah said, and really what the Shulchan Aruch over here is trying to explain, is there's a difference in terms of adding water to flowers. We talked about moving flowers, we talked about putting flowers into water. Now we're going to talk about adding water to flowers. I have my flowers over there. According to everybody, you can't switch the water. You can do that on Chol Hamoed, you can do that on a weekday. But on Shabbos or Yom Tov, there's no heter. You know, the water's getting yucky, the flower's smelling, your wife's screaming, what should I do? Right? You can't switch the water. That you can't do. Perhaps it's true. Dump the water. But you can't put in fresh water into the flower pot, into the vase. But one could add water on Yom Tov. And I saw the post can bring up until half. You could add up until half the capacity.
Regardless of whether it's possible.
Oh, right? I believe all these things we've been talking about is specifically where I already did blossom. We're talking about those qualifications for sure. But one could add water on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. What's the difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos? Very interesting. The easiest way to understand the difference is Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat over there in the Mishnah. If you look back on the first side of the page, by that Mishnah, Rabbeinu Chananel in the last line writes, "V'amai emosifin mayim b'Shabbos." What's the reason why we don't add water to flowers on Shabbos? He says, "Mishum denira kimashka zrayim b'Shabbos," because it has the appearance of your feeding flowers, grown flowers, on Shabbos. Obviously, if it was growing flowers, that would be deraisa zareya. But even if they're detached flowers, it's an isadrabanan of zareya. If that's the pshat, so then it's understandable the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. There are some things when it comes, Shabbos is an iser skila, Yom Tov is not. And we find on some dine derabanan, there's room to be makel between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So thus, according to Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat, it explains very well the Mishnah over here. When it comes to Shabbos, you can't add water because that's an iser derabanan of Zareya. But when it comes to Yom Tov, the Mishnah itself is giving you the heter. The Mishnah is saying you could add, they were not as concerned, because it's Yom Tov, not the same Isser, not the same Onish on Yom Tov, and that the Rabbanon have the right to pick and choose, for Yom Tov will be Makel. What's interesting, I saw some people point out, I didn't see a good teretz of this. Rashi over there on the Mishnah, in explaining why you can't add water on Shabbos. Rashi b'Shabbos machzirin. Sharoimi kan notlin hayom. You took it from that water today. For the record, it sounds like it has to be taken from that water today, not yesterday or a day before. Being in water means being in that water that same earlier day. Rashi writes avolo mosifin mayim kol shekein shemachlifin mayim. We don't add water. You don't switch the water. Lishpol kas elu losis achem sonein. Mihani the Torah lisat kune mana. Rashi says, why don't you add water to flowers on Shabbos? Because it's a tircha. Not an Issa Drabbanan of Zareya, like the Rabbeinu Chananel said, but because it's a concept on Shabbos, we don't do things which are called a tircha or a bother. On that, I saw multiple mepharshim point out, there's no difference we find in halacha usually between tircha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Things which will tell you you shouldn't do because of tircha on Shabbos, we equally would tell you not to do that on Yom Tov. So according to Rashi's pshat, and if you look at the language in the Mishnah Berurah, he brings tircha too. It's hard to understand what exactly is that difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. But we do see the halacha does make that difference. One more point. I'll get to everyone in a moment. Once we have these halachas clear, halachas of putting flowers into water, returning them to water, the first time into water, adding water, I found a fascinating kula straight out of Lakewood. You don't necessarily always find kulas in Lakewood, but here I found one. I saw many poskim say, when it comes to Yom Tov would follow the same dinim as Shabbos. So the halacha we discussed before, putting flowers for the first time, today at least, into water would be the machlokas prima gadim versus the chayadim. And though the Mishnah Berurah does write that the eved, one could rely on the prima gadim, l'chachila, we wouldn't. So I found where Forsheimer, who's a post like a rav, a big rav in Lakewood, so he wanted to say the following point based on the last thing we said. Since we already find when it comes to Yom Tov that we're more makel in terms of adding water, where you have a machlokes between the prima gadim and the chayadim, whether one on Shabbos or Yom Tov could put flowers for the first time into water, once we see we're already makel by Yom Tov for adding water, perhaps one could also be makel and rely even lechachila on the opinion of the prima gadim, and therefore on Yom Tov one would be allowed to put flowers into water even for the first time. So what we touched on today, before I summarize halachas, pre-existing water, right? And summarize these halachas, which are not so simple, make sure we clarify them, and end with a quick insight, return back to Rav Aaron Wein. So we touched on today the halachas of flowers on Shavuos. Like most Jewish things, we have two minhagim over there. Moving flowers on Shabbos and Yom Tov is mutter for the flowers, but there's no problem with muksa because they're decorative. Putting flowers into water if you meet three conditions, one could do that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if they already were opened, you're returning them to water, and the water was prepared already before Shabbos, then one would be allowed. Where you're putting them for the first time into water, there that's a machlokas between the Prima Gadim and the Chai Adam. And adding water, that's a differentiation we find between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos you cannot add water, but Yom Tov you could. And we just added that according, since we already find the heter, when it comes to adding water in Yom Tov, you could also perhaps apply that back to, for the first time in Yom Tov, putting flowers into water, one would be allowed. Let's say, I started with Rabbi Oral Wein's comments about flowers. I'd like to end with it. He said flowers are really a beautiful symbol of the Jewish people. Flowers need water. When they're attached to the source of water, they'll stay beautiful, they'll stay fresh, vibrant. You take them out of water, they lose their vibrancy, and they quickly, how beautiful the flowers were, they're dead, smelly, and your wife's screaming. He says, that's a beautiful mashal for Klal Yisrael. The Yom Tov Shavuos, we don't just mark with flowers, but really the Torah is our source of water. Our Torah is compared to water. It's our source of sustenance. When we're connected to that water, we thrive, we're vibrant, colorful, and beautiful. But you remove us from the water, from the source of our sustenance. That's not the way that the Jewish people should be.